Tammany's father, Hogmanay, meant little. But the quine kent fine that nae sooner would they win hame for the kirk and sup their dinner than her mither would clean the house fae top to bottom, Sabbath or no, in honour of the new year coming in and the all gone out. At Migbury, she told them, they'd left fires for the death of the all year and first fed all their friends for a week and mair. Her man, Stain Hillock, wouldn't entertain on a yon healing kind of notions. They'd the whiff of the heathen about them, he said. For a' that, he wad pour his neighbours out a seasonal dram from the cried in by the fair more than east few days. Nae an yokes to send them off to their logic like some did, though. Their beasts and their women folk wouldna thank you for sending them hame blind foo. He'd see no money buyers for a hungry beast roaring in the stars, waiting for their masters to cour a New Year's debauch, and was far over civilised to add a sup whisky to the horse trough like some farmers did, as though the horse would thank you for it. The kirk was near foo from the wind tilt, like the beasts and the buyer, ah, kent their own stars. Minnie's father drew out the tuning fork for its box, eh, and get for it to stand aneath the pulpit. The beadle, Gordon Watson, hirpled up the wee stone steps with a great black book with gowdage leaves, and he opened it up for the minister's mirk to place with a long red ribbon. Sighing, he hirpled back down again to repeat the trip, this time with a glass jug of water and a tumbler in his rheumatic hands for fear the Reverend John Geddes needed something to clean his throat. I wish Martha Bruce wouldna pitch his tunes so low, Minnie heard Mrs. Baxter feel lower call Rogie girn to her man. Button your spaver, Jordy, you're a damned affront coming into the kirk with your shoppy door open. Had your waste woman or man gibbet back, a deed bird winna drop out of its nest, but I'll facen to please you, isn't it as if I didn't in purpose. Minnie kicked up at her mother to see if she was talking this exchange. Sally Bruce's expression never let dab. And Da wouldna have thought it was funny, Minnie jaloosed piously. A small voice was nae so far for a presenter. Matthew Bruce's voice followed the kirk, fae the baptismal font to the lamp lichts and the upstairs pews, the sort of voice that could ruin your heart like a hairy worm, sonorous and rich and roan. He didn't ken mony tunes, but then neither did the congregation. French, Kilmarnock, or the all hunter with the favourites, maybe a dozen tunes at most. The pie was sma', but as our dad remarked, it was a' the easier to carry home. There was a rishel of hymn books, the whiff of peppermints pitting in a moose to besook it, a twa or three hosts and bland snoots, and the Reverend John Geddes wheeched through the kirk in his black suit and his fight dicky collar, with his black goon out at a' like a hoodie craw. It being near a new Hogmanay, he'd found a suitable text for Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, tak tent, because your enemy the devil is a roaring lion walketh about, seeking far he mech devour. Sitting between Marty and her ma, Minnie turned feared for her mother Sally. Often, afore Stain Hillock's wife turned in for the night, she would pour herself a skirp of whisky, for the bottle with the white horsey in the front of it, a trick she'd learned at Migbury, for whisky seemed to be the cure for a'thing. Her da only supped strong liquor at communion, or maybe a wee dram at a wedding or funeral, just to be sociable-like. Joke Dow, the grieve at Stain Hillock would beteet her logic at the bells, aye, and nae just Hogmanay either. Minnie minded when she and Izzy had heard Joke Dow roaring out of him when he'd pitten a young feed loon through the mystery of the horseman's word, likely that would be the devil trying to charm the nested, drunken, grisly breed that he was. Even the devil, though, wouldn't devour Joke Dow, unless the devil was by ordinar hungry. It was a long service and a longer sermon, and after the elders had taken the wee velvet buggies a siller for it to be blessed, and the congregation had been blessed, come the only bit that many really like it in the kirk, found the Reverend John Geddes rocks out his blocky arms, and Da led the singing in the hymn Miss Blessing. The Lord bless ye and keep ye. The Lord make his face to shine upon ye, and be gracious unto ye. The Lord lift up his countenance upon ye and give peace. There was something by ordinar sweet, I went on, words in the one blessing. Whether it was the tune she liked, or just because it was the ain of the service, she couldn't be sure, but she liked it by ordinar weel. Now, though, the elders were filing out and the pews were scaling. Out she gaed to the moo of the kirk, for her mither and feyther were newsing in the midst of twa separate bourachies of folk. By bitter experience, she kented be there for a while. Many waded through the snaw between twa graves, mucking for a flat steen to doubt doon on. Oh, a suddenty, her lug was stung by the finger of a snawbuck cracking off the side of her head. Her lug felt as if it was in fire. It was stooning, dirling, swelling. She fuddled through an een bleezing, and another snobber had her full in the face this time, splitting her bottom lip. Nae ordinary snobber would have done, though. Looking down, she could see a steen in the midst of the snobber that struck her last. Sighing, she heard a stooshie get up, a fecht atween twa loons. Alec Matheson was hudding her brother Marty down in the snow, rubbing his nose in, and Marty was skirling out of him like a stuck pig. Alec Matheson was 5 year older than Minnie. He knew the truth while he caught her. He knew her grandmother's dairyman in the town, him for the Sabbath day, says mither mixed washies sacks. Her father strode over and yarked Alec off of Marty's back in a towering rage, wondering for to teen his bailies loans it is sick a thing to Marty. He's just 14, men, you'll kill him. But it's all the stramash about anyway. The beadle, Gordon Watson, had seen Marty putting the steens in the snowbars and pelting his sister Minnie with him, and took great delight in telling the presenter. Is this right, Alec? Matthew Bruce speared the young dairyman. Alec Matheson nodded. Steen Halleck turned to Marty with a face of thunder. We dinna wash for fool linen in public. Get in the car now, Marty. You tea, Minnie. Your lug and your mule need some sma' attention. The family drove home in silence and the braid black doubt of Tibby. When the shelt drew up in the firm court, Matthew Bruce telt his loan to the end of the stable afore him. Minnie kent it wouldn't be just to help Rob doon Tibby and dry her out or gear her feed. Feyther was lousing his belt afore the loon went out of the stable door. Tea. There was a minute's wheesht, and then the scalp of leather and bare flesh, nae ince, but money, and a yelp of pain for Matty as the belt was yarked during his bare ears. Minnie's da came out of the stable, hauling Matty by the lug, and flung him through the firm whose girding gate like a burned sheaf. "Did you need to be so hard, Martha?" speared his wife. "He that spareth the rod hateth the son," Proverbs 23 come thereupon. "For by woman, have you seen the sutter he's made of the lassie's face?" Matty was put to the stable to meet the horse with the greave after his feather quailed down, and after that to muck out the byre with the oar alone, for it was Sabbath and the quarter's day off. In the ordinar way, Matty would have been upstairs learning the lessons for him that he'd gotten from Strathbogie College in the town, but the day, if he chose to behave like a beast, he could bide with him, his feather said.